possibly need.
Absolutely. All right. So welcome back, everyone. Well, we're going to be going back to our main topic of discussion for this class, namely the actual text of Shmoneh Esrei. So we left off, we had finished the eighth bracha, the bracha of Rifa'inu. So now we're going to talk about the bracha of Barich Aleinu, the bracha of Birkas Hashanim. So the first thing I want to discuss, before we get into the actual text of the bracha, as we usually try to do, is to put the bracha in context. And so we're going to start with the location of this bracha, and it's contextually in Shmoneh Esrei. So just a small point in terms of why this bracha is where it is. So the Seder Hayom, I've quoted him before in his whole approach to different parts of Shmoneh Esrei in their order. So he had said that Rifa'inu followed the bracha of Geula, bracha of Goel Yisrael, because it's kind of a Maslow's hierarchy type of progression, that if a person is in imminent danger, right? We discussed the bracha of Re'evan Yenu is, according to many commentaries, talking about personal suffering, not just about the exile of the Jewish people, but about individual suffering, everyone's personal struggles. So a person who is in imminent danger, a person who is struggling, a person who is oppressed, so they can't think about refuah, they can't think about, you know, maintaining their health, something which is a more long-term type of mission, type of proposition, until you've covered what's immediately in front of you. So therefore you have Re'evan Yenu, and then Rifa'inu. Then Rifa'inu is before Barich Aleinu for a very similar type of reason. If a person doesn't have their health, so they can't really think about their parnasa, you can't really think about the trappings of life until you have life. First you have Rifa'inu, first you have to have refuah, you have to have good health, and only after you're settled, you're set, you're taken care of in terms of being able to live a life, so then you can talk about sustaining that life, then you can talk about parnasa, about making sure that you're making a living, you're able to support yourself, but the logical progression of the imminency or the urgency of a person's needs. The approach of the Seder Hayom. But I wanted to talk about the Gemara in Megillah. We've referenced this Gemara several times. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, gives a whole order, its own organizational pattern to the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei. And so we've seen a number of times how some things are because of their sequence, some things are because of their number. We discussed the bracha of Rifa'inu was 8th because it was corresponding to Bris Milah. So the Gemara in Megillah says that the bracha of Barich Aleinu is coming keneged mafkiei sha'arim, is coming in response to the mafkiei sha'arim. The mafkiei sha'arim literally means those who explode, they cause to explode the rates. The sha'ar was talking about the going rate of products in the market. So the people who caused that to explode, which means they caused it to go up. They caused, you know, hyperinflation, basically. People who would, Rashi there explains that the merchants in the market, they could make a monopoly, and they could get together, not meaning they could make a cartel, basically, and get together and all decide that they were there in inflated amount, and then nobody's going to have any choice. Everybody's just going to have to pay the higher amount. So what does it have to do with 9th? So the Gemara says that in Tehillim, David HaMelech said that Shavor Zroa Rasha, which means break the arm of the power, the authority of the Rasha, of the evildoer. And Rashi there explains how the Gemara knows that that's referring to this type of person, the continuation of that chapter of Tehillim there. At some point it says that they lay in ambush to steal from the poor. And Rashi says, who steals from the poor? You steal from the rich. That's people who have the money, you know, are the people who have the money. So therefore you steal from the people who have the money. Why are they stealing from poor people? So Rashi explains what that means is the people who cause the price of food to go up. So they're really laying in ambush for the poor, because the rich, they're going to buy their food anyway. They're not going to, okay, it'll cost them a little more, but okay, you have to pay a little more for your food, so you'll pay a little more. But the poor, who don't have the money to pay for it, so they're the ones who are being ambushed here, they're the ones who are being trapped by this plot, is the poor. And therefore this idea, this Shavor Zohar Rasha, is in the ninth chapter of Tehillim. The Rishonim have a little bit of a discussion. If you open our Sefer Tehillim, so depending on which Rishon you look at, it's either 8th or 10th. And each of the Rishonim have, according to where it is, their explanation of how it's really 9th. In ours, it is, steal your sitter here for a second, I believe it is actually 10th. I'm sorry, I believe it's actually 8th. No, I'm sorry, 10th. In ours it is 10th. The pasuk here, Shmor Zohar Rasha, and then later on is the verse that Rashi refers to, Ye'arov v'mistar ka'ari v'suv, Ye'arov lach tov ani. They're lying in ambush to grab from the poor. So all the Rishonim who have, which we have, is the 10th. So they point out that the first two prakim of Tehillim, as we have them, are really one parak. And they bring proofs from Gemaras that that's really the case. They're not just throwing that out there because, hey, we have to say something. They bring evidence that that's really true, that the first two chapters, as we have it, are really one chapter. But be it as it may, however you'll get there, this is the ninth chapter of Tehillim. And therefore, the Chachamim put this bracha ninth, corresponding to the Mafkiei Sha'arim, who David HaMelech offered his tefillah that they should fail in their mission. He put that in the ninth chapter of Tehillim. Now, I guess that's, you know, sounds like a nice idea. That doesn't seem very central to what this bracha is about. This is not, the Gemara is not after the fact. Now that Barich Aleinu is the ninth bracha of Shon Esrei, now the Gemara wants to come along and find, you know, a nice after-the-fact, post-facto kind of explanation, kind of, you know, hint for why that's very nice, and why that's, you know, now that it worked, now that it fell out that way, we have some nice meaning to plug into it. This is the Gemara explaining why they put it in that order. Why were they koveya it? Why did they set up Shmona Esrei L'chatchila in this order? So if this was their a priori reasoning for setting it up in this way, there must be something that's more fundamental to this bracha, which is being expressed with this idea. Now, that's question number one. But I also want to talk about what I think is a much more fundamental question in this bracha, and that is a more basic question. What is the justification for the existence of this bracha? And what I mean by that is that Gemara in Be'a Daf Tez Zayin Amar Aleph says, Kol mezonosav shel adam katsuvim lo me rosh hashana v'ad rosh hashana. The entire mezonos, the entire sustenance of a person is set, is established, is determined from one Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah. Your parnasa is set, it's already determined for the year from Rosh Hashanah. And there's nothing more to talk about. It's already determined, set in place, and Rosh Hashanah. So why would we daven three times a day for Hashem to give us parnasa? What's the justification for such a davening, for such a prayer, for such a tefillah, if our mezonos, our parnasa, is already set in place, is already determined on Rosh Hashanah, and it's not going to be reevaluated until next Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Dav Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, has a similar type of question or a similar type of discussion. The Gemara there, as a drasha, the pasuk says, Einei Hashem, the whole pasuk is Eretz Asher Tamid, Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Meireishi Sashana Ad Achris Sashana. So the Gemara is, in this pasuk, Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, that the eyes of Hashem are on this land, Meireishi Sashana Ad Achris Sashana, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. The Gemara says, Itim Latova Ve'itim L'ra, says, sometimes it's for good, and sometimes for bad. The Gemara explains, what does that mean? For good, what's the case? So if, come Rosh Hashanah, Klal Yisrael were not holding in such a good place, they're not holding on such a high level, so they have a Gzar Din for the amount of rain they're going to get that year, good. They don't. So what happens is, so at some point during the year, they are Chazru to be good, they turn around, they mend their ways, and they become good. So the Gemara says, to divvy out more rain, to add on to their cheshbon, so that we can't do, because it was already nigzar, it was already decreed, it's set, that's already determined. So what does Hashem do? So Hashem makes that all of the rain falls in the right time and in the right place. It falls in the correct season, the season right after the planting, and therefore it's the most effective, and it falls in all the right places. The rain falls on the planted fields, and therefore the rain, which that minimal amount of rain which was decreed upon them by Rosh Hashanah, thereby reaches its maximum effectiveness. And the other way around, if Klal Yisrael and Rosh Hashanah were in a good place, and they got a good din, they had a gzar din for a very good, a very healthy, a very abundant rainfall that season, that year, and then what happens? They turn around and they go off and they go sour. So then what does Hashem do? So to take away from their decreed amount of rain, from their determined amount of rain, that can't do because the gzeirah was already made. So what does Hashem do? So Hashem makes it that the rain falls in the wrong time, in the wrong place, the wrong time. It falls, you know, before they planted, it falls onto the empty plowed fields, or it falls into the river, it rains into the rivers, into uninhabited areas, and therefore the rain is not helpful. And therefore, even though the gzar din they had for the amount of rain that they got, it won't be so helpful. This, I think, really captures what I think is the yesod, is really the fundamental point, the foundation of what the din of Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is a day. His discussion about the Yomim Noraim, he points out that the Gemara in the Bavli says that Hashem judges us, the Pasuk by Yishmael says, Ba'asher Husham, that Hashem judges the world. The Gemara is talking about Rosh Hashanah, that particular pasuk. I don't know if that case by Yishmael was on Rosh Hashanah or not, but the Gemara is discussing on Rosh Hashanah. It says that Hashem judges the person not according to what he will be, but according to how he is now, Basher Husham. And the adds on, Ali Shur adds on, Revolvi adds on, the Yerushalmi says that Hashem does not judge a person, only judges the person according to how he is now, and brings a verse that says, Imzach liyashar ata. If you are zach liyashar, pure and straight. The Gemara says, Yochanan says, it doesn't say Imzach liyashar hayisa, if you were good, but if you are good. So Revolvi points out you have both directions. You're not judged on the past, and you're not judged on the future. And therefore Revolvi asks, so what is the judgment on, if not, you know, the actions that you've done? What is the din of Rosh Hashanah? It's not on the past, it's not on the future, it's just on how you are right now. So what is the din? And Revolvi says that this din of Rosh Hashanah is a din on your Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The din is on the degree to which you, on Rosh Hashanah, accept Hashem as king. Now that is going to obviously be buttressed by if you've made yourself into a person who's more prepared for that. But Revolvi points out, it's a little bit of a glimmer of hope from someone who didn't have such a good year, that you could you could refocus yourself on Rosh Hashanah, and on Rosh Hashanah, you focus on accepting Hashem as king, and that's what the din of Rosh Hashanah is a din on the degree to which you accept Hashem as king, and that's what the din is. He brings different proofs and explains a couple different points with this idea, but I wanted to just take that point, and the Medrash gives a mashal to what it's like when Hashem became the king of the Jewish people. There's a king who came to a nation, and he said, and the nation said to the king, they wanted him to be their king. He said, "We want you to be our king. Make decrees for us." And the king said, "Before I make any decrees for you, so first accept me as king. First you have to coronate me. First you have to accept that I am the king. So first accept me as king, and then I can make decrees for you. Now, only if I am accepted as king, only if you've accepted my authority as binding, do my decrees have any meaning. If you haven't accepted that I am the ruler, so then you'll take or leave what I say. So first accept me as king, and then I'll make decrees for you, because my decrees will only have meaning if we first establish that I'm in charge." So the Ol Malchus Shemayim, the idea of what it means that you're accepting that I'm the king, is the general acceptance. It is the potential acceptance of all of the actual decrees. If we've accepted that he is the king and he can make decrees, that is an acceptance through the potential of any decree which might come afterwards. And therefore, accepting the king, the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, is an acceptance of everything, of everything through potential. It is a potential acceptance of everything. Tosos, I'm going to try to explain the meaning of this Tosos with this idea. Tosos, in Rosh Hashanah, the Chav Zayin Amad Aleph, Tosos brings the Machlokas in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Amud Beis. Two opinions: was the world created in Tishrei, or is the world created in Nisan? Right? Machlokas, if B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam. And we, Paskin, I don't know if everyone is aware of this, but we actually, the Gemara on Yud Beis there, actually paskins the Shita that B'Nisan Nivra Olam, that the world was created in Nisan. So Tosos there is bothered about how we, on Chav Zayin, is bothered about our davening on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah. So he's not bothered by this particular language, but we say things like Hayom Haras Olam, And the different things that we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, which seem to imply that the world was created in Tishrei. So Tosfos deals with that point, but then Tosfos is bothered by a separate question. Tosfos is bothered that in the piyutim that we say for Geshem and Tal on the end of Sukkot and the beginning of Pesach, so Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, the author of those piyutim, in the one for Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, he was miyaseid. He built his piyut there according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that the world was created in Tishrei. And then when it comes to the piyut for Tal by Pesach, so there the flow of his piyut follows the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that the world was created in Nisan. So Tosos is bothered. There's a steer, there's a contradiction, according to Rabbi Lazar HaKalir, about which way do you go? Is the world created in Nisan or in Tishrei? And Tosos, an answer, incredible answer, Tosos says that by Tishrei, it was Allah b'machshava livros, that in Tishrei, so to speak, came into God's mind, the thought came up to create the world, and he didn't create it until Nisan. Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei, that's the Yom HaDin, is the Bechina, is the level, the aspect of Machshava. The world was created in potential. The idea in, so to speak, Hashem's mind, in Hashem's thought, was created. The world is created is on its potential. Judge, okay? We are judged on the degree to which we have accepted Hashem as king, the degree to which we have in potential accepted all of Hashem's decrees, and the world has its gzardin on its potential. The world is given your decrees for that year in potential. Suggest as a possibility, I don't know about this, it's just a thought, that that maybe with this idea we could understand a different idea that comes out in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the Gemara there on I believe it's Tes Zayin Amud Beis says a Braisa. The Braisa says that on Sukkos or on Rosh Hashanah, two different the Gemara there really uses both when it says the Braisa, when it paraphrases the Braisa later, but that on Sukkos or on Rosh Hashanah or on Sukkos, we are Nidon Al Hamayim, we are judged for water or for rain for that year. And on Pesach, we are Nidon Al Hatvua, that on Pesach, we're the judgment for grain, for the produce. And I think maybe that this might be that these two aspects, that Tishrei is the Bechina, is the idea, the concept of the potential. The rain is the potential for how is the ingredient that's going to determine how much produce grows. The rain is the potential. Nisan is the time of the actualization. Nisan is the time when Hashem actually created the world b'poel. And therefore, Nisan is the time when you have the gzeira on the tvua, on the grain, on the actual realization, on the fruition, on the manifestation of that process. That comes in Nisan. That Nisan is the time when is the time of potential, and it's in that time that the gzeira on the potential. The rain is the potential we discussed way back when we discussed Mashiach Ruach Morid Hagashem. I believe we had a whole discussion about how rain very strongly represents in Jewish thought this idea of potential. I'm not going to go back into that now, but that the rain is the potential. And in Nisan, which is the time when Hashem created the world b'poel, l'maisa, that's the time of the din on the actual realization of that bracha, of that process. A possibility. It's my own thought. But in any case, but what the main point that I want to bring out is that the idea of Rosh Hashanah is this idea of the din in potential. The din, it's the day of creation in potential. It's the day of where you're nidon, you are judged on the potential. The gzar din is on your kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, which is the acceptance of Hashem's decrees in their broader, more general sense, in the potential of them. I am, as a matter of included in my acceptance of him as king, is thereby an acceptance of any decree he may make. In potential, I've accepted everything. And the din is on the potential that you have for that year. Then throughout the year, you have the realization of that bracha. Throughout the year, you have the day by day, how that bracha comes to fruition, how it manifests. The purpose of this bracha, of the bracha of Barich Aleinu, is to daven for the Chadashim Levakarim, is to daven for the din that happens every day. As Rabbi Yossi says in the Gemara, and the Avnei Eliyahu, Avram ben son of the Gra, says that really even according to what we say, that it's still true what Rabbi Yossi says, that Adam Nidon Bekol Yom, that a person is judged every day, as it says Chadashim Levakarim, that the renewed every morning, that every day there's a din, every day there's a judgment. So that's this bracha of Barich Aleinu is the Chadashim Levakarim, is the every day of the year, that continuing process that is happens every day, in how the Gezerah of potential that was Nigzar on Rosh Hashanah, that was decreed on Rosh Hashanah, how that is actualized into reality, how the Parnasa, which was dictated and determined on Rosh Hashanah, materializes, how that comes out b'poel. You have it, so to speak, in machshava. You have the potential, the idea of what that parnasa is going to be is on Rosh Hashanah. And throughout the year, depending on how the person is in the day by day, is how that bracha is going to manifest throughout the year. The Avnei Eliyahu says that that's why. So Birkas Hashanim, Barich Leinus Hashanah, Shana, he says, it's called a Shana because Bekol Shin Nun He Yamim Bo, Bishana Nishtanis Lafi Masav. That in all, in a full year, not a leap year, but a full year, a year in which Cheshvan and Kislev, both of them can have either 29 or 30 days. Every other month is determined, alternating 29 and 30. Cheshvan and Kislev, depending on the year, can have either 29 or 30 days. On a year, which is a full year, a Shana Shlema, a complete year, so Cheshvan and Kislev have 30 days, and the year has 355 days in it, which is Shana, Shin Nun He, is the Gematria 355, and the Avnei Eliyahu says, it's called a Shana because it's Nishtane Lefi Masav, and each of the 355 days of the year is changed according to the actions of the person. Shana, from the Lashon of Shinoi, from the Lashon of change, and the Shana is the Gematria of 355, that the change affects the person throughout the year, that every day has its own status. You have the Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, right, and Halo Davar Yehu, that the Rosh is where the Machshava is, right, the thought is in the Rosh, and that's what we discussed, the idea of the potential. The Rosh Hashanah is when you have the potential for that Shana, for those 355 days that follow, which change, and each one has its own status, has its own state, has its own level, according to how the person brings that bracha out, according to how the person is nidon, is judged on that day, and how he has brought that bracha into fruition on that day. And that's the, and therefore it's the justification for how we can have a bracha which davens for Parnassa three times a day, every day, when it's determined on Rosh Hashanah. What's determined on Rosh Hashanah is the potential. And this bracha is the bracha for the actualization of that potential. So now I want to get back to the question that we started with, which was, what is the centrality of the Mafkiei Sha'arim, the people who they create this artificial inflation that raises the prices of everything and makes things inaffordable for the poor. Why is that this bracha should negate, should be a reaction to their efforts? Why is that so central to this bracha? The Mafkiei Sha'arim are the people who, after the bracha of Hashem has been realized, you've gotten all the rain that's going to come, and now we're at the point of Tevuah. You have the grain. You have that which is the judgment on Pesach, is on the actualization. That's the grain. You've reached the stage of the actualization of that bracha. And there is, you have that Hashem fulfilled the bracha. Not only was the bracha decreed, but it came out into its potential. And the bracha is here. And they, now you have the people who are in charge of basically distributing it. They're standing in the way of that bracha. They're preventing the bracha from reaching its final destination. They are standing in the way of bringing the bracha into its actualization. They're standing between the potential of the bracha and the actualization of the bracha. They're standing between the effect of the bracha. The bracha's here, but now it's the, but now in order to bring that bracha out, in order for that bracha to come into its actual making a difference, its actual realization, and to make a real impact, these are the people standing away in the way. And that's what this bracha is about. This bracha is about the bracha that Hashem gave, the shefa that Hashem gave, reaching its fruition, coming out and making a real impact. The fact that the bracha was determined that I'm going to have a bracha, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. The fact that that bracha that Hashem gave will come out positively, and I will benefit from it, and it will be meaningful for me, that the rain will fall in the right places in the right time, and that the tevuah will come. So, and that I will benefit from it, that it will make them, it'll come to me in actuality, and it'll be manifest. That's the idea of this bracha, and those individuals, the mafkiei sha'arim, they're the ones who are standing in the way of that final step. They're standing in the way of realization of the benefiting, of the taking advantage of that bracha. That's exactly what this bracha is about. This bracha is about bringing that bracha that was nigzar, that was determined in potential, into its actuality, into its realization. That's the entire point of this bracha, is that those people should fail. If those people aren't doing anything, then you don't have to worry about them failing. We still have the idea that the bracha that Hashem determined on Rosh Hashanah should get to me, but they represent what the bracha is about. They represent stopping the bracha before it reaches its final destination, and that is the yesod, that is the fundamental idea of this bracha, is that the bracha that Hashem decreed upon me by Rosh Hashanah will reach its final destination. Letov will be, letoelos will be for a benefit. That's the whole purpose of the bracha. And that says the Avnei Eliyahu. He doesn't say this so exactly this way, but I'm going to borrow something that he says and apply it. He brings from a Gemara. The Gemara says that if you have a gzera of 70, a gzera filo, a gzera of shivim shana latova, they have a 70-year decree for good, and the person is menavel piv, the person is acts inappropriately, says that Hashem is the gzera is nishapich alav lera, is nishapich alav lera, flips upon him for bad. And the Adonai Eliyahu says alav dafka, specifically on him. You have a bracha that it's specifically hakol lefi hamikabel, goes according to the recipient. According to the recipient of the bracha, according to his actions, the bracha will be nehabach alav, will be on him, the bracha will be flipped to not come out to good. I think that's the idea, that's the beginning of the bracha, is bareich aleinu es hashana azos, that the bracha should come out aleinu, according to each individual, according to us, that we have the general bracha that's determined on Rosh Hashanah. But you should have the aleinu, you should have that it's that riboy, that shefa, that bracha comes out to us as we are, according to each individual, throughout the Hashanah Hazos. The 365 days should come out upon us, that the changes for each day should be according to each individual, litoelos, to the best that that person can receive. And therefore, that's the idea. The principle of this bracha is the bringing out of the bracha to fruition, to its actualization, to its manifestation, to each individual, according to where they are at each point of the year. It's the actualization of the bracha which was decreed upon Rosh Hashanah.